Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, no matter how young or old you may be, no matter how many times you've seen them, a rainbow is still a beautiful sight. When we were in South Dakota, we lived in a parsonage. That was right next to the church. Didn't have to go too far to go to work. And because of the way it was situated, we had some particularly spectacular rainbow sightings. Once, as we looked east, a rainbow bent almost perfectly like an umbrella from one side of the church to the other. You know, science tells us that rainbows appear when light strikes drops of moisture in the air, and beautiful colors of the rainbow are caused by the refraction and internal reflection of light rays that enter the raindrops. But that explanation doesn't begin to express. It just leaves something to be desired when you see the beauty of a rainbow. As I mentioned earlier, this Lenten theme this year is signs of salvation. And the rainbow is actually one of the first physical signs that God gave to mankind after their fall into sin, a sign to assure them of his constant love and presence. You'll remember, of course, that it came after the flood in the days of Noah. Noah and his family and all the animals had left the ark after it came to rest on the mountain, and one of the first things that Noah did was build an altar and offer a sacrifice to God. And God responded to this by saying, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. It is for every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." Never again, God said. In fact, that phrase was so important, he said it three times. Never again would he destroy all life with a flood. And every time he sees a rainbow, the handiwork of his own design, he remembers his promise. And while we see a rainbow maybe only occasionally, God sees a rainbow every day, for there is certainly a rainbow somewhere in the world every day. Just a quick glance at the early chapters of Genesis demonstrates how much God loves his creation. We don't know, and we'll quite frankly never know this side of heaven, how much it must have pained God to send that flood. One thing we do know is that God was grieved over what Adam and Eve's disobedience brought upon the human race. He grieved the depths of man's depravity, how far sin had taken us in the away from him, and the way we treated one another, the way we treated his creation. We read shortly before God sent the flood, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart." Man's heart was filled with such evil, God's heart was filled with pain. The flood, of course, was a result of man's sin, mankind's sin. You know, but this wasn't done in haste by any means. And the flood really isn't so much a story of God's anger as it is about his patience and his love of humanity. See, when God sees sin, he also has the desire that those who are caught in sin would be rescued and saved from it. In Genesis 6:3, we read, Then the Lord said, My spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years. For years, I thought that this verse meant that God was limiting man's lifespan to 120 years. But that doesn't actually square with what we read in Scripture. For many generations after the flood, people lived way past 120. And if God says that this is the extent of our lives, why don't we find people today living that long still? No, actually, in its context, that verse implies that when God saw how wicked man had become, he chose to wait another 120 years before doing something about it, before showing them the full consequence of their sin, before sending that flood. So what was going on during those 120 years? Well, we know that it took Noah 100 of those 120 years to build the ark. But you know, it's very unlikely that Noah and his three sons could have done it alone, even over 100 years. So Noah probably hired others to help with that huge undertaking. And throughout those years, Noah would have been telling people why he was doing it, telling them that the Lord had revealed to him that a great flood was coming and that this vessel would be their means of salvation if they would turn back to him. In other words, Noah was preaching. And we know that for sure because Peter writes that God preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. Our gracious God tolerated the wickedness of mankind and even sent them a prophet, a preacher, to warn them. He didn't need to, but he did it anyway. He gave a warning and allowed time for man to repent, even knowing that they wouldn't. He waited 120 years so that you and I would know how patient God is, that he doesn't take any pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that he should turn from his way and live. And then, after the flood, God set a rainbow in the sky as a sign of his promise to never again destroy the earth with a flood. You know, interestingly, God doesn't say that the rainbow would be a reminder to us. He says, when the bow is in the clouds, I will see and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. Now, of course, when we see the rainbow, we can remember God's goodness and his promise, but we only know that because God promises to remember when he sees it. And see it he does. You know, as we read on in the Bible, we read about how God's plan unfolds. He chooses Abraham to be the father of a nation, and then he saves that nation from their bondage and Egypt. He frees the Israelites from Egypt and journeys with them through the wilderness. He establishes them in the land that he'd promised to give Abraham's descendants. And throughout that time, every day, somewhere or another on earth, God saw rainbows. And every time he did, he remembered his covenant with Noah. But he also knew that the flood was really only a temporary fix for our sin. Before the flood, God's heart was filled with pain. Pain when he saw that man's heart was still filled with evil. But even after the flood, and before making the rainbow covenant with God, with Noah, God said, "The intention of man's heart is evil from his youth." So not only before the flood did he say that man's heart was evil, but even after the flood, man's heart was still evil. Imagine the pain in God's heart, knowing that our hearts continued to be filled with evil and knowing that the cost for that sin would be the life of his son. Imagine the pain in his heart when he saw Noah fall into sin. Imagine the pain in his heart when he saw the people build the Tower of Babel as they tried to put themselves in the place of God. Imagine the pain in his heart as he saw his people Israel continually rebelling and worshiping other gods. Imagine the pain in his heart when he saw his only son hanging on the cross, suffering for all of those sins. But Jesus didn't only suffer for the sins that had already been committed. He also suffered for the sins that would be committed. He suffered for the sins that you and I would commit, the sins that we do commit and the sins that we will commit. Imagine the pain in God's heart when we, even knowing what Jesus has done for us, continue to sin. But imagine the joy in God's heart. In fact, as the gospel writer says, the joy of the angels in heaven when by the mercy of God you were saved from your sin. You know, thank God that the love in his heart is stronger than the pain in his heart so that our sin results not in a flood of judgment, but rather a flood of forgiveness. A flood of forgiveness that came to us in the waters of our baptism, all because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. You know, it's interesting that God uses a rainbow as a sign of salvation. And it truly is a sign of salvation that points us to Jesus and what he would ultimately do to save us. We talked about this in Bible class has that been months ago now? Probably. You see, there's no special word in Hebrew for rainbow. In fact, the Bible doesn't say rainbow. God says, I have set my bow in the cloud. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember. Not rainbow, but bow. The same word for bow as in bow and arrow. God takes the sign of a weapon of war and hangs it up for all to see. His bow is no longer in his hand, ready to be used against us. He sets aside his wrath and gives us a reminder of his love and his desire for peace. He even points to what he will ultimately do through his son. You see, the bow isn't pointed at us. The bow is pointed at himself. Because Jesus would take the arrows. Jesus would die the death we deserve because of our sin. Jesus would do everything that was necessary for our salvation. All this is from God, Paul writes, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Today when God sees a rainbow, he still remembers his promise not to destroy the earth with a flood. But even more, he remembers the ultimate solution for sin, the suffering and death of his son for you and me. He remembers it not with pain in his heart, for that son is now risen from the dead and seated at his right hand, ruling all of creation for his people. He now has joy because his son was willing to die that you and I might live. But what of us? What will we remember when we see a rainbow? What will that beautiful sign tell us? All around the world, that sign shines. And hopefully, that sign will remind us of God's great love and mercy, his forgiveness, full and free in Christ. And we can look at that sign, look at that rainbow, and see it as a sign of salvation, that God's ultimate solution for sin was not a flood, but a Savior. And seeing that sign, knowing that love, mercy, and forgiveness, this Lent again, may we be empowered to remember and make God's heart glad as we continue to struggle against our sin and serve Him with our whole heart. Amen.